You. Please take your Bibles, turn to the book of Psalm 119. We are excited to announce the birth of Eleanor Christine Aline, 7 pounds, no ounces, 19 and 3/4 inches long, healthy. Mom and baby are healthy. And just as we prayed for a healthy, happy, normal baby, we also prayed for a healthy, happy, normal mom, because the follow-up, you guys know the follow-up care is rough. And so praise the Lord, praise the Lord. We're excited about that. Take your Bibles tonight. Psalm 119 and verse 9. I'll read the odds and you'll read the evens, please. We're going to verbalize the Word of God. That's what we're doing. We're saying it out loud. If you found a Psalm 119, say amen. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereunto according to thy word. With my whole heart have I sought thee. O, let me not wander from thy commandments. Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. Blessed art thou, O Lord. Teach me thy statutes. With my lips have I declared all the judgments of my mouth, of thy mouth, excuse me. I have rejoiced in the way of thy testimonies as much as in all riches. I will meditate in thy precepts and have respect unto thy ways. I will delight myself in thy statutes. I will not forget thy word. Oh, Father, we recognize that it is not through vain repetitions that you move, but God, just simply we ask you to speak to us tonight, that according to your will, Father, the decisions made would glorify you. Bless us in Jesus' name. Amen. Tonight is not going to be a happy sermon, but it is a needful sermon. My heart is broke. We have an open sewer that is engulfing America. Men and women are being submerged in the filth of today, of hardcore pornography, and it assaults us and everywhere we go. I mean, I was just in Texarkana, and stuff's on billboards and things that are on magazine racks at the checkout counter, not to mention what comes through your phone. And, we were excited one time. We had all dumb TVs. You know how smart TVs work? Smart TVs have Roku and stuff built in. The whole house was full of dumb TVs. And then we found this thing called the Amazon Fire Stick. And we plugged it in, turned it on. It updated automatically, and everything's great. We got old TV shows. We got cartoons. Everything's great. The next update came. It added an extra porn channel. Without asking. Isn't that interesting? And I had to take all of them out of our house. Because it's just coming through the cable network. It used to come through TV or through phone dial-up, but now it comes through our internet services into our handheld devices. And as parents, we have to teach our children the truth about pornography and the soul-killing, conscious-numbing effects of it. Dad, it is your privilege and responsibility to do this for your children, especially for your sons. Right. Now, this is going to sound foolish, but the first message, probably one of the only messages I ever heard on the subject of pornography, had to do with starting with the Sears and Roebuck catalog. You think that's crazy, but that's where a 10-year-old John Mix saw women in brassieres for the first time. And so it's important that you pay attention and don't tune me out, because your pastor still remembers every piece of porn he's ever seen since the time he was 10, and so does your husband. He does, and he fights it. It's every man's battle. It's every man's struggle. And so tonight, I want to talk to you from the Bible about the need for us to teach on this and the fact that there is power to have of the power of Jesus Christ to heal this in our lives. Amen. And you say, well, I don't have a problem with it. And a lot of women don't. But you got problems elsewhere in your life. And the same principles that frees your husband from porn will free you from bitterness, anger, malice, wrath, unforgiveness, bitterness. Did I say bitterness? And everything else, my brothers and sisters. I've had this message in the magazine for months, and it's finally, this is the bullet that came to the top. Our families are becoming roadkill on the information highway. And if you are a single mom, I'm here to help you, but you're going to have to step up and teach your sons and daughters this. because it's not just a guy thing anymore. Parents, you have to place safeguards in your home. You need internet filters. There's a company called Covenant Eyes that you put the app on all your devices and it'll email you if they look at something that is out of bounds. There is, you do pay for that cell phone that your child has, bless God. Then you ought to have a password to that device, bless God. And husbands, that means your wife better have a password to your stuff. Not only does my wife have a password to my stuff, Brother Phil does, because he's my tech guy. And so do all my boys. And why? Why not? What is it? What is on that phone that they can't see? What right and righteous thing am I trying to hide from them? You see, people used to say when I was a kid, well, what's the big deal? As long as I look but don't touch, I'm fine. In Ezekiel chapter 8 and verse 12, God dealt with this when he said, Son of man, hast thou seen what the ancients of the house of Israel do in the dark? Every man in the chambers of his imagery. Speaking about what happens between your ears. And they say, the Lord seeth not. The Lord doesn't see what goes on up here. Oh, brothers and sisters, yes, 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 he does. So number one, parents, you need to teach yourself the truth about pornography. You can't teach what you don't know any more than you can come from some place you've never been. And God spoke the wonderful truth about how to handle pornography and how to deal with the effects of it here in Psalm 119, verses 9. Look at it again. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereunto according to thy word. This also, like I said, this also works for every other thing. But I want to talk to you about porn tonight. With my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. Thy word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against thee. Blessed art thou, O Lord. Teach me thy statutes. With my lips have I declared all the judgments of thy mouth. I have rejoiced in the way of thy testimonies as much as in all riches. This, by the way, this works, like I said. Did I say bitterness, anger, wrath, malice, unforgiveness? Gentleness, goodness, meekness. You having problems in these areas? This works. Why is porn bad? What is the biblical reason that porn is bad? Take your Bible, turn to Matthew 5. Jesus actually talked about this. Matthew chapter number 5 and verse number 27. Look what Jesus said. This isn't Pastor Mix. The words in red in your Bible were not put there by me. This is from God himself. Ye have heard that it has been said of old time, thou shalt not commit adultery. That's one of the Ten Commandments. But I say that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her in his heart. Pretty straightforward. Straight from God. I mean, does Jesus know it's 2021? I mean, really, is Jesus kept up with the times? I mean, we're so much more intelligent now. We're so much more educated now. Huh, what makes you think I'm going to have a problem with this? Jesus said, if you look upon a woman to lust after, and that includes pictures, you've just committed adultery. You've just done it. Well, what am I supposed to do about it? Well, Jesus has the answer here in verse number 29, but you're not going to like it. If thy right eye offend thee, pluck it out and cast it from thee. Now, God is not advocating self-mutilation. Please, please, please. So none of you go home and do that. But he's pretty straightforward. For it is profitable for thee that one of thy members should perish, and not that thy whole body should be cast into hell. And if thy right hand offend thee, cut it off and cast it from thee. For it is profitable for thee that one of thy members should perish, and not that thy whole body should be cast into hell. I know that's pretty radical treatment, but God says it's better that you were maimed than to sin in this fashion. This is a big deal to God. It may not be a big deal to you. It may not be a big deal to the people you work with or the people that you're in your life and in your family. But God says this is a big deal. So you got to teach ourselves first. And then number two, parents, we got to teach our children the dangers. Look at verse 9 back in Psalm 119. How shall a young man cleanse his way? That word cleanse means something that we have to do all over and over and over again. I mean, we try to teach them to brush their teeth, right? We try to teach them to bathe. We, especially when they're teenagers, we enjoy it when they bathe, boys and girls, right? Girls don't sweat. They glow, but they glow like pigs. So they still need to be taught how to shower, and we do this, right? So when it says, how can a man cleanse his way? That word way is talking about his life. A way is a well-worn path. We have habits of behaviors physically. We have habits of thoughts. We have habits of emotions, well-worn paths of emotions, a rut, a well-traveled path or a groove. We fall into patterns of thought, and the devil likes to cut grooves in our mind with these types of things. And the truth is, a man's mind is one track and it's muddy. And we can take an unclean way and have it cleansed, but we got to do it God's way. That's why it says in Proverbs 4:23 to keep thy heart with all diligence, because out of the heart cometh all of the issues of life. Not just porn and its addictions and its destructive, poisonous things. Every part of your life, it based on the condition of your heart, you gotta, when it says keep your heart with all diligence, it means you gotta put up walls, you gotta put up fences, you gotta put up things and say, listen, I'm not gonna let that garbage in, because then out of the mouth speaks the heart. The Bible says in Proverbs 27:3, for as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. You say, well, I don't understand why this is a big deal. Well, Lamentations 3:51 says, my eye affects my heart. What I see goes down in my heart. What goes in your eyes and ears sinks down in your heart and festers. That's why you got to, we've talked about watching our friendships. You know, we've got some friends that if we hang around them, we become bitter and angry. Or we'll use foul language because we just fall into a rut of doing that kind of behavior whenever we're around that person. Or we have to say, wait a minute, I'm going to take control of this engagement. And even though I'm around this person, I'm going to lift up rather than be pulled down. Studies prove that there are physical effects of pornography. It affects your mind. It's scientific. Neurologists have proven that there's an effect on the brain, that the habitual use of pornography literally lays down new tracks within the brain as a response to the dopamine. It's like scratching a CD or a DVD. And for you teenagers, you know, the video games used to come on a disc, and you'd get really mad when your younger sibling would scratch it. The best one I ever had was the big LP disc or vinyl records, right? Because when you scratched it, it would always go back to that scratch. And that's what porn does to a person's mind. Anything, a word will be said, a smell, a something, and your mind will jump back to that moment where you were looking at porn, just like a scratch on a record. But what is the basic message of pornography? That sex can be completely disconnected from love and commitment and morality and responsibility. That's what it is. It's a psychological poison that affects your mind. Dr. Victor Klein is a clinical psychologist who's an expert on this. And he says there's four effects that happens when we look at porn. Now, I'll be brief. We'll get back to the Bible. One is the addiction effect. When you view it, you get a dopamine response, and it's like a narcotic, and you want to keep coming back to it. And sometimes the brain will give you a stress response so that you'll come back to it and relieve the stress. The escalation effect means that what satisfied you the first time and made you want the same thing won't work now. You have to have a bigger deviant or bigger something to make it, because the first kick doesn't work now. Then there's the desensitization, the development of a tolerance, that what used to shock you and was abhorrent to you is now normal and doesn't shock you anymore. One of the members of the band Korn, he was home one day, and he watched his little 4-year-old daughter dance and gyrate and sing to one of his songs about sex. And that's when he realized something's wrong. And he ended up finding help and getting saved. And now he's out of that band and he's serving the Lord full time. But it took his 4-year-old daughter to be dancing and gyrating and singing that song for him to wake up. Then there's the activation effect. Pornography viewers begin to act out their fantasies, even sometimes to the harm of their spouse. There's a number of women reporting that they felt scared during a sexual encounter with their partner, and that number has increased. Police investigations have proven that not every person who looks at pornography is a sexual deviant, but that every sexual deviant does look at pornography. The big one for me was in the 1980s when Jim Dobson interviewed Ted Bundy, the serial killer, before he was put to death. And he said, "I take responsibility for what I've done, but it is the result of the fantasy life I lived, fueled by porn and alcohol. I felt the full range of guilt and remorse, but I was able to compartmentalize it. And pornography guided and shaped what I did." Pornography brings not only, it's a poison, it brings domestic damage. It ruins your relationship with your spouse. Because first, number one, it's a destruction of trust. It is adultery. It is adultery. Jesus said so. It also ruins your intimacy because it's demoralizing. What do you mean demoralizing? Your wife will never be able to measure up to that airbrushed, doctored photo of some worldly perfection that's not even real. God meant for the sexual relationship between a husband and wife to be the act of love. Listen to what it says in Hebrews 13:4. Marriage is honorable in all, and the bed undefiled. But whoremongers, and that's what you become when you look at pornography, and adulterers, that's what you become when you look at pornography, God will judge. If a man saturates his mind with pictures and stories of sex without love, sex without commitment, sex without intimacy, how do you think he's going to treat his wife? It also brings spiritual destruction. Take your Bible, go to James. James. The book of James. Why are you preaching a whole message on this, preacher? Because if I can shine a light on it, maybe something will change. Listen to me, brothers and sisters. Men hate light. They love darkness because their deeds are evil. If we can shine a light on something and bring it out and let God be the judge and the final authority on it. And like I said, yeah, I'm talking about porn tonight. But you know, your anger, your malice, your wrath, your unforgiveness, your bitterness, those are still addictions. Those are still ruts in your mind, ruts in your emotions, ruts in your mental thinking. They're still ruts. They're well-worn paths. Anger, brothers and sisters. You show me an angry kid, I'll show you an angry parent. And they learn it from us. And if you're constantly angry, brothers and sisters, and it's girls too, not just guys, it's a rut in your thinking. Because there's a dopamine response. There's an endorphin response. There's some sort of a chemical response when you get anger, when you get mad, and you get used to it. James 1:14, every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Do not err, my brother, my beloved brother. Don't think you're going to get away with this. God hates hidden sin. You say, well, I'm by myself. It's in the middle of the night. Nobody's watching. Let me tell you something. Numbers 32:23, God, be sure your sin will find you out. God will not allow it to remain hidden. Look at 2 Corinthians and verse 10, or chapter 10. 2 Corinthians 10 and verse 3. God clearly and plainly says that our thought life must be cleansed. Look at it. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal or physical, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. What do you mean? That doesn't sound like a mental problem. Casting down imaginations. Where does that happen? And every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge. Where does knowledge happen? The knowledge of God. And bringing into captivity every thought. Where does that happen? All those things happen in our mind. And it needs to be cleansed. And Jesus said it is the word of God that cleanses us. John 15:3, you are already clean because the word which I have spoken unto you. So go back to Psalm 119. Parents, number one, you have to learn the dangers of porn and educate yourself. Number two, you've got to educate your kids about the dangers and the poison of pornography. You are fighting for their marriage, not just your own. Because your children do not become what you tell them. They become what you are. You cannot sin and win. You cannot dabble in sin and your child not take it up as their own. The Bible says that He passes down the iniquity from the father to the child unto the third and the fourth generation. This is Bible. So teach your children, they have a decision to make. Look at Psalm 119, verse 10. With my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. Deuteronomy 4:29 says, if thou shalt seek the Lord thy God, thou shalt find him, if thou seek him with all thy heart and with all thy soul. Do you realize that it's not teenage delinquency that's the problem in American Christianity? It's half-hearted Christians. Half-hearted Christians is the problem. You have to make the decision first as a parent. I will be clean. And you have to teach your children. But if they don't see it in you, they won't see it for themselves. If your child doesn't make a decision early and firmly and strongly that they're going to walk with God and be clean, they're going to fail. And see, one of these days they're going to be 18 years old and they're going to have complete access to everything. Unfettered access. They can go, here's your phone back, Dad, which you think is great, but they'll just walk right down to T-Mobile that's giving a Black Friday sale last week. For $12, you get a phone and a free phone and a line for a month with complete access. If we don't teach them how to live in this world full of filth, they will be roadkill. They will be destroyed. They will. And first, parents, you got to make a decision. With your whole heart. James 1:18 says a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. You're going to have to make a decision. In James 4 and verse 7, the Bible says, draw near to God and he'll draw near to you. But he's waiting on you to make the first move. He's already decided he's going to. Now he's waiting for you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners. Purify your hearts, ye double-minded. You know, in the book of Daniel, what was so great about Daniel was he purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself. That he lived in a kingdom where he was privileged. He had food in abundance and wine, and he could do whatever he wanted within reason. But he decided, I'm not going to defile myself, Daniel 1:8. It's a decision you and I have to make. And then we have to purpose in our heart. We have to help our kids realize they come to the same decision. I want to be pure. I will be pure. They can't do it by sheer grit and determination. They're going to have to choose to draw nigh to God. And that's where we have to show them the power that is at their disposal. You can't just show it to them in the Bible. Listen to me. If they don't see you accessing the power of God for your anger, for your bitterness, for your unforgiveness, for your malice, for whatever, they're not going to believe. See, there comes a day. We just kind of get used to a teenager shutting us off. We just kind of get used to it, right? It's the American teenage society. We get used to it. You know why they do that? Because we stopped being credible. Why? Because we stopped representing what was truly authentic about Jesus. When they stop seeing us being authentic like Christ, we no longer have credibility and they stop listening. Your ability to parent them at that point is over. Now it's hard knocks. Now it's the school of hard knocks. Now, I think if we all take a second and go back over our lives, you and I have learned some things from the school of hard knocks. All of us have. What have you learned? Just kind of think about it. What have you learned? If you take a corner too tight, you're going to run that aluminum rim right up on the curb and bust it, and you'll be sitting there flat. That's one I've learned a couple of times. Right? What else? If you give your credit card number out without being sure you're actually talking to the Social Security Administration, they'll drain your account. You learned that one the hard way? What have you learned the hard way? What is it you want your kid to learn the hard way? What is it you would rather they learned by seeing an authentic representation of Jesus Christ in their life? So you can't be double-minded. You have to show them the power that's there. It's the power of the Holy Spirit through the Word of God. There is no other way. You know, I'm not one of those preachers that says, well, if you're having mental issues, you don't need that. You don't need medicine. Well, maybe you do. But you know, medicine only gets you to a baseline where everybody else is. And then you still have to build Jesus on top of that. There is no such thing as a Jesus pill that everything's just going to be pretty. It just doesn't work. So we have to teach them verses like Psalm 127, verse 1 and 2. I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. Verse 7 of Psalm 121 says, the Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. God is not going to give them a command and then not provide for them what they need. When it comes to forgiveness or anger or whatever you're struggling with, God isn't giving you a command and then not giving you the ability to do it. He is. But if you don't draw nigh to him, if you don't tap into the power of the Holy Spirit through the word of God, forget it. The Bible says in Isaiah 64, 6, all our righteousnesses are filthy rags. Our ability to fight an addiction is filthy rags. Our ability to love our spouse unconditionally is filthy rags. Our ability to forgive when they mess up is filthy rags. The ability for us to forgive others, to you name it, to not be angry is filthy rags. You have to be empowered by grace through the word of God. And that's why you keep having the same conversation every 3 or 4 months. Nobody else has that problem in their marriage? I'm sorry. Okay, I guess we'll save that for another family. But that's why, because God isn't being allowed to make the difference on the inside. All right, so back in Psalm 119, Psalm 119 verse 9 speaks of the danger. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? This is something they're going to come in contact with when they're not in your house. Verse 10 speaks of the decision they must make. It says, with my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. But verse number 11 tells us of the power at our disposal. Verse number 11, thy word have I hid in mine heart. That the word that means the results of this, the results of hiding his word in our heart is that I might not sin against thee. The result of hiding God's word in my heart is I won't sin against him. And as I said, you're not just in a battle for your marriage. You're in a battle for your kids' marriage. Because if they don't see it in you, they're going to have to learn it the hard way or see it in somebody else. And to win it, we got to win the battle for their soul first. They need to be saved, brothers and sisters. I don't know if you realize this, but your cute little babies are sinners with little sin natures. Oh, they're so adorable and they're so cute, yeah, but they're sinners. And the Bible says they come forth from the wombs speaking lies. What does that mean? They cry when they're dry and they're fed and they're burped and they're not even tired. They just cry. And they do, and they're just lying to you. They're little sinners. They want what they want when they want it. That's how they come out. That's natural. They get it from your mother-in-law. And so they need to be saved. They need to be saved. Well, how do I do that, preacher? You've got to get them under the preaching of the Word of God on a regular basis. We have people who come only to our church for Awana. And Awana is a tremendous program. But the night Awana wasn't happening, 80% of the people didn't come. But Will Bodine got saved because he was under the preaching of God's Word. Not that Awana doesn't preach the Word, it's just you just don't know when the trigger's going to get pulled. You just don't know when that kid, when it's finally going to click for your kid. And the sermon he needed or she needed, you watch Disney. And I'm telling you, you wonder why young people aren't being called into the ministry anymore. Because the moment the preaching that would have changed their heart and would have been the call of God on their life to greater walk with God was replaced with Marvel or some other foolish thing. And I love you. I do. But brothers and sisters, if we don't talk about this problem in our lives and get real about it, our kids will rely on what they hear from the public school about it. And maybe you really are a boy in a girl's body. And maybe you really are a boy that's just trying to get out. And maybe we ought to surgically alter you at the age of 12. Those conversations are happening at the public school. Is that where you want your kid to learn about porn? About the filth of this world? It's the word of God that cleanses our soul. John 15, 3, now you're clean through the word I have spoken unto you. Ephesians 5, 26, sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of the water by the word. We have to teach our kids to read God's word. We have to encourage them, and it gets harder and harder to encourage them the older they get. And then verse number 11, thy word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against thee. How long has it been since you memorized scripture? You know, one of the great things about my wife, and I can brag on her because she's not here, is she's a planner. So when we go on a trip, she packs all kinds of stuff. And I get to play Tetris you know, in the back of the car, right? And there was a time when she carried a diaper bag instead of a purse, and it had everything in it. I mean, wipes and Band-Aids. And when she starts downsizing, I get nervous because then I don't know where the stuff's at anymore. But she packs it all in. And even if you didn't need it, you think, well, this is silly. But when you need it, you get to unpack it. That's the Word of God. When you pack it in, you may not need it today, but the Holy Spirit's going to unpack it and bring it out and use it when you need it. Make it a family project. Memorize scripture at your house. I've not been faithful at that. What? I'm a sinner just like you. It's one of my regrets. You know, your protection and your child's protection is going to be the Word of God that's hid in their heart, not hidden in their desk drawer, not hidden in their backpack, but hidden in their heart. You got to make a practice of memorizing the Word. You know, God wonderfully made us to where we can't think about two things at the same time. Do you find that happen to you? You're trying to focus, you're trying to think, and somebody comes in and interrupts you. Concentration's gone. Creative juices are gone. Why? God made you in such a wonderful way, you can only think about one thing at a time. So if you're always thinking about what's right and what's beautiful and what's good and holy and righteous, you can't think about the bad. Philippians 4, 8 and 9, finally, my brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are a good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. See, the problem in America, as I said, it's not the teenagers or the kids. It's Christians who are living life half-hearted for God. See, your children will mimic what they see. They will mimic it in their own marital relationship. Their understanding of what a wife should be like is how they saw their mother. And their understanding of what a father should be like or is going, they're just going to have to put up with is the father they had. And I want you to ask yourself, is your faith worth having? Is your faith in Jesus Christ being lived out loud to the point where your kids look at you and go, I want that. I want to know the God my daddy says he loves. Is that really what your kids think? Isn't that what we really want, though? Is for our kids to go, I want to know the God my mama says can do anything. I want to know that God. Do you say that? That your God can do anything? Or do they? Because they're going to naturally become a diminished copy of you. Whatever good you do, whatever holiness you do, they're going to fall short of you. That's just the way it is. If you don't believe that, then how about you wait a little while? And I'll hold your head as you cry. I will. Dad, I recognize that marriage is not easy, okay? But the man I be determines the woman I see. The man I become determines the woman I have. Let me do it another way. You treat your wife like the woman you want, and she'll become the woman you want. Because she is a responder to how we initiate. So if we're loving and we're the man God wants us to be, she'll want to be the woman God wants her to be. The man I be determines the woman I see. And it's time for some of us moms and dads to teach our kids. The real power is in the Spirit of God through the Word of God. So I want you to personalize the Word of God. Look at verse 12. Blessed art thou, O Lord. Teach me thy statutes. Teach me, O God. Teach me. This is not an academic exercise. It's not about knowing the words of the book. It's about knowing the God who wrote the words in the book. But knowing God who wrote it, it says, oh, teach me, oh, Lord. Take your Bible, go to John 8. John 8. And verse number 31. John 8 and verse 31. Look what it says here in John 8 and verse 31. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him. Have you believed on Jesus, Mom and Dad? I mean, you've made a profession of faith when you were young. Was that the day you actually believed on Jesus? Or did you just go forward and make and go through the motions and got baptized because your friend got baptized? Do you believe on him? Can you remember? You were there. I wasn't. Are you saved? How were you saved? What are you basing it on? Well, my mama said, that's wonderful, but what do you say? If your five-year-old walked up to you and said, Daddy, what do I got to do to get to heaven? Can you explain it based on what happened to you? If you can't think back to the moment it happened to you and explain what happened to you, then you need to have it happen to you tonight, and you need to nail it down. Then said Jesus to those, why? Because when I was asked those questions, I said, of course I'm a Christian. I was baptized as a baby. I was confirmed when I was 14. I stood up in front of the church and said, I believe Jesus Christ, Son of God. Got a Bible, and my mama said I'd get whipped if I didn't. I didn't get saved till much later. Then Jesus said to those Jews which believed on him, if you continue in my word, he didn't say if you're sweet and kind and nice to old people. He said, if you continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. And ye shall know the truth. If you continue in my word, you'll know the truth. And if you continue in my word, you'll know the truth. And that truth will make you free. Free from what? Free from anger, free from bitterness, free from malice, free from wrath, free from harshness versus gentleness, free from being stingy, free from porn, free from drugs, free from alcohol, free from overeating, free from lying. You name the sin that's hiding in the back part of your closet that you don't think God sees because nobody else sees it but you. God will free you from it, but not unless you're his disciple and you continue in his word. In chapter 8, verse 36, if the Son therefore make you free, ye shall be free indeed. See, it's the Holy Spirit. It's the whole power of the Holy Spirit through the Word of God. Listen to what Jesus said in John 14, 26. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. So back in Psalm 113, you need to also verbalize the word of God. Look at verse 13. It says, with my lips have I declared all thy judgments of thy mouth. You know, it's time to get off the defensive with this thing and get on the offense. The word that should be coming out of our mouth because it's in our hearts should be God's word. You know, the devil is the ultimate pervert and pornographer. But the Bible says in Romans 12, 11, they overcame him by the word of their testimony. So you need to put this in your heart. You need to put the word of God in your heart. And instead of the world making inroads into your heart, we turn the tide and make inroads for the kingdom of God in the society around us. Verse number 14, though, you've got to make the word come alive. It's not enough to just put it in. It has to come out in a practical way and be lived. Look at verse 14. I have rejoiced in the way of thy testimonies. That word way talks about the way God would have us to live, the method, the testimony we create because of our habitually walking in his, the power of his spirit and his word. I've rejoiced in the way of thy testimonies as much as in all riches. You got to make it come alive. Help your kids see that it's alive. Why? By living it in front of them. Remember, hope in Christ is not just in the by and by, but also in the nasty now and now. I have hope that God is going to do me good and not evil. I have hope that if I do as he tells me, that I am going to be blessed for it, and that the outcomes he has outlined will become reality in my life. But it takes me doing it by faith. Help your kids see it. An impure mind is a mind that is looking for contentment in the wrong places. Do you realize that this world has nothing to offer you in the way of contentment? Do you know why people look at porn? Because they're not content with their life. Do you realize your spouse can never make you, can never bring you contentment, truly? Your spouse can never meet your needs, never. The best that person can do is filthy rags. But God can. If God's allowed to make a difference in your spouse. And your career will never give you the contentment you want. Only God can. And more money cannot bring you contentment. Only God can. And many Christians have never discovered the riches that God has offered us through the power of the Holy Spirit, through His Word. It's not that God is hiding it from us. It's the fact that we don't look for it. Take your Bible, go to Ephesians 1. The Bible says in Isaiah 53, there's none that seeketh after God. There's none. It's not natural for us to do so. You want to go to sleep, read your Bible. Your flesh hates it. You want to go to sleep, pray. Your flesh hates it. You want to have your mind wander? Try to memorize, because your flesh hates it. It's not that God's hiding His power. It's the fact nobody's really looking. Chapter 1, verse 18, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of His calling, and what the riches of the glory of His inheritance is in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of His power to us, word, who believe, according to the working of His mighty power. So first, you've got to make a decision that you're going to be clean. Number two, you've got to memorize God's word. You got to personalize God's word. It's got to be in your mouth. You got to verbalize it. You got to make it come alive. But back in Psalm 119, verse 15, you got to internalize it. Yes, I like all the alliteration with all the I's. Don't you like that? I like that too. Look at this. Psalm 119, verse 15. I will meditate in thy precepts and have respect unto thy ways. Bible meditation is not putting your mind in neutral. Bible meditation is fastening your mind on the Word of God. Do you ever get a song stuck in your head? You know what I'm talking about. Or a jingle. Or I love jingles. I was raised how many remember this song? Do, 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 do. Do, 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 do. It was the McDonald's song. It was the, you deserve a break today at McDonald's. Nobody remembers that one? Oh, I know. Well, I'm telling you. We get songs stuck in our head like, this is the song that never ends. It goes on. And there you go, Miss Mary. April's like, blocking. I'm blocking. The idea of meditation is to take the Word of God and run it through your mind over and over and over it again, and verbalize it out loud, and then personalize it by saying, is this a promise I can claim, Lord? Is this a sin I need to avoid, Lord? Is this a command I need to obey? Is this a precept I need to understand? Is this a principle I need to live? By asking those questions based on the Bible, on the verse you're talking about, you just meditated. Well, you're in Psalm 119. Look at verse 23. Princes also did sit and speak against me, but thy servant did meditate in thy statutes. Verse 48, the Bible says, my hands also will I lift up unto thy commandments, which I have loved, and I will meditate in thy statutes. Verse 97, oh, how I love thy law. It is my meditation all the day. Verse 99, I have more understanding than all my teachers, for thy testimonies are my meditation. Psalm verse 148, mine eyes prevent the night watches that I might meditate in thy word. How many of you have ever driven a stick shift car? Stick shift, right? How many of you, it's been a while since you've done it, right? But if you were to get into a stick shift car tonight, it'd take you a minute, right? You'd have to concentrate, clutch and then gas, clutch and then gas. And then you may kill it the first time. I borrow Brother Phil's Honda Fit every now and again, and I'll kill it the first time. But then I got it. And, you know, by the time I've got him to the airport and I'm on my way back, I am making turns and shifting gears, and it's come second nature after a while. At first, though, it's a lot of concentration, especially if you start on a hill, right? You know what I'm talking about? You got to get good at that, buddy. And those pedals are narrow. You better get the right one, right? You know, what I'm asking you to do is not what I'm asking you to do. It's what God is asking you to do. In the areas of your life where you are having a struggle, whether it's because it's sin. Yes, porn is sin. Yes, everybody agrees with that. So is anger. So is unforgiveness. So is the lack of faith in God to do the work He said He'd do. So in those areas of your life where you're struggling, and I'm not just talking about porn right now, You have to memorize His Word. You've got to personalize His Word by internalizing it and meditating on it. And at first, it's going to be as awkward as a rubber crutch or trying to run a three-speed. It's going to be tough. But once you get doing it, it becomes second nature. And that's what Bible meditation does for you. You hear the Holy Spirit. Even in noisy places, you hear Holy Spirit speaking to you through His Word. And if you see something impure, your heart isn't interested in looking at it because you've overwritten it. You've changed those pathways. We have certain medical treatments now, I was told by Brother Rizzo, for PTSD that helps remap the brain and takes the fight or flight response away from the memory because the mind is remapped. You know what the Word of God does? It remaps your neural pathways. It gets you out of those ruts the devil was happy to leave you in. And it's not just it's porn, it's anger, it's malice, it's wrath, it's unforgiveness, it's bitterness. It's never been dealt with from hurts way long past. Oh, God won't take away the memory, but He'll definitely heal the pain of the memory. He'll overwrite it if you memorize His Word, if you personalize His Word, if you verbalize it, if you make it alive and internalize it. But parents, you and I got to learn first. We have to learn the evils and dangers of pornography first. You know, there is good filters. And there are accountability practices that you can do with men or women at the church, like guys with guys, girls with girls. You want to be. But another one is really your spouse. To build trust with your spouse, she needs or he needs to have access to everything. My wife has access to every piece of technology I own without at any moment. We've already agreed years ago. We agreed. We made this decision. If she ever asks me for my phone, she'll know the password. She'll know it by heart. She knows how to get on my email. She knows. And it builds trust. And I determined a long time ago that the man I would be would determine how I see my wife. And if I don't see her in the like God does, it's not her fault. It's my fault. Now, I know I've been rough on you tonight, but all of this started 30 years ago when I walked into my pastor's office as a freshly saved Christian, and I said, "We're having trouble, preacher." And my preacher said, "John Mix, it's your fault because you don't love your wife like you're supposed to, like God does." And it set me on a trail to find out how to treat her like the woman I want, and watch, she became the woman I wanted. So we got to teach ourselves first, guys and gals. And then we have to teach our kids about the dangers of it and how to live in this filthy society and not let it destroy us, and put safeguards in our homes until our kids are strong enough with character and a walk with God to be able to step out and be trusted and trust themselves, because the Word of God is in there. Can you say that about your heart tonight? I know I'm going past, but the kids are still doing their thing. Is it in there? If I peek down into your soul with a mirror into your soul, I will see the image of God stamped in your place. I'll see the sinfulness of the stamp of the human likeness of our father Adam. But will I also see the Word of God having taken root and flourishing? Let's stand with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. We can't hide from the scary things of this world. It's not about isolation. It's about insulation. It's about training them to be to be strong, to handle the things this life's going to throw at them, and to respond properly. Our Father and our God, in the next few moments, as we all take a moment and just reflect, we ask, Holy Spirit, that You, through the Word, would speak to us and show us the areas of our life that need to be aligned to Your truth, the areas of our life where we need to surrender by faith and trust You to do what You said You'd do in all aspects of our life. And Father, tonight, even though I've spoken directly about pornography and the evils and the poison of it, Father, there are other areas of our life that are just as destructive, that the answer is still the same. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against Thee. Speak to us tonight, and Father, we'll respond in Jesus' name. Amen. With every head bowed and every eye closed, the altar's open. I'm here. If you're a lady and want to pray with a lady, that Miss April's here, Brother Mike's here, we're here to pray. Let's talk to God tonight. Let's make some decisions. I will be clean. I will. By the power of God, I will. Our Father and our God, we love you. And tonight, God, we surrender ourselves to thee. Father, please, according to thy word, free us. According to thy word, we surrender by faith, not by our feelings, but believing you and your word to be true. Your promise is sure, your character unquestionable. Tonight, we surrender to that. Bless us now as we go our separate ways tonight. Let us come back on Sunday. We'll worship and serve you again in Christ's name. Amen. A couple things.